Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I am a CPA, CFP professional, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. And you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org. And podcasts of prior programs are also available there under Public Affairs. Our topic tonight is ping pong planning. We are live tonight. We'll take your questions. Greg and Kyle are in the studio with us this evening. We'll answer your calls, take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments, and while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic, and I will do my best to answer them. The number is 610-758-8810. You can speak live on air with me, or if you're not comfortable speaking live on air, you can give your question to Greg or Kyle, and he will bring it in to me. Email is also available at yourfinancialchoices.com. I do want to mention thanks to listeners who did send questions through the website last week. I have decided to kind of dedicate my show next week to answering some of those questions, and we're going to call our topic next week Various Financial Planning Questions from Our Listeners. So, in fact, if you are listening tonight, I could certainly use more questions, and so you can send those through yourfinancialchoices.com. Again, next week's topic, this and that, various financial planning questions from our listeners. Amy sent me a question. Carolyn sent me several questions, and I thought these are great, and because I love doing like little smatterings of financial planning kind of questions as well. It's very interesting to me. So tonight, ping pong planning, where did this come from? Well, recently I had the opportunity to write an article for the PA, the Pennsylvania CPA Journal, working with the PICPA, which is the Pennsylvania Institute of Certified Public Accountants, a great organization, for their personal financial planning column. I do happen to be the coordinator for that column and was a little up against the deadline, wrote the article myself, and it's called Ping Pong Planning, and I'm going to go over some of the highlights of that. And in particular, I was talking about required minimum distributions and federal estate tax information, and you might think, well, these don't apply to you, and what does this have to do with me listening to the rest of the show? Well, it's just two little items that I happen to highlight when we talk about ping pong planning. There is a lot that has happened, and I think with the pandemic, with the stimulus payments, with the CARES Act, the American Rescue Plan, going back even as far as the Secure Act and the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, all of this different legislation is swirling all around, and you know, tax preparers, accountants, financial planners can hardly keep ahead of it, let alone the average person who may or may not know to ask the questions. So I thought I would just highlight some of those things, but I am going to start with the items that I referenced in the article, but I want to go on further and talk about some of the other information that came out in the American Rescue Plan. Again, these you know, legislative acts were coming at us, you know, faster than, you know, baseballs at a batter. I don't know what the analogy would be there, but the American Rescue Plan included some modifications to the child tax credit and to the dependent care credit, and there were some other things I thought, and stimulus payments. So I thought I would kind of highlight some of those as well. So as far as the ping pong planning. What I was referring to in this article was, again, these different legislative acts on tax reform that we've had over the years. As I mentioned, the SECURE Act, which is the 2019 Setting Every Community Up for Retirement Enhancement Act, that impacted required minimum distributions, which I'm going to go over. Then there was the March 2020 Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Securities Act. That's the CARES Act. And then an act that is set to sunset, which is why I'm calling this ping pong planning in particular, is the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, or the TCJA, which expires in 2025. That's how we've been, you know, affording some of these lower tax rates that we've been experiencing, and higher federal estate tax exemptions that will sunset in 2026. Now, as many of you know, there's a lot of talk about tax changes that may or may not advance. It all depends. So we hear about talk about raising corporate tax rates or raising individual income tax rates. And it's talked about in such a way that you really don't know if it applies to you or not. It's so generalized. I have had a number of clients say to me, my taxes are going to go up. I'm going to be paying more taxes. Well, you know, generally you hear that the higher tax rates may apply to people making over $400,000. The changes in the federal estate tax application and how it may end up not so much on the value of your estate, but on the gain of your estate when you pass, there's limitations and numbers on those. So if you don't have, you know, and I'm just talking off the top of my head on this one, you know, over $1 million of gain or something like that, I'm just throwing out this as a concept, then it may not apply to you. If you don't have over $400,000 of taxable income, then the higher tax rates may not apply to you. So you kind of have to make sure that when you're listening to this and repeating it out to, you know, friends, family, and your accountant or financial advisor, that it's really important to know what's going to apply to you. So in the article, I said financial planning with so many unknowns warrants careful consideration of your what you're doing, that there are planning strategies that will continue to be beneficial, and particularly around estate planning and income tax planning for retirement accounts. What I found during this past tax season, that with all of the stimulus payments getting thrown at people, the first one, the second one, the third one, there was actually a lot of tax planning involved in that as well. Sometimes if people just did a little shift and maybe contributions to a 401k or having a contribution to an IRA, lowering their income a little bit might have opened the door for more stimulus payments. So there was income tax planning around that. Some of the highlights that I referred to in this article are a little bit probably bigger than that when we're talking about federal estate planning and required minimum distribution income tax planning. Some of the strategies that we can look to use right now would require really reviewing estate planning documents. It's really, really critical to review estate planning documents, estate wills and trust, especially if you had them drafted, you know, pre-2015, 2014, where there could be language in there that may not be necessary anymore, which could impact a surviving spouse. There is something called portability now, which really could change the landscape of estate planning. So I want to talk a little bit about that. But then again, as I go through the show, I do want to highlight some of these other areas regarding the third stimulus payment and the changes to the child tax credit and dependent care credit. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Tune up your week with a great variety of jazz music on WDIY, Monday through Friday nights from 9 to 11, offers many choices from the world of jazz, featuring traditional to modern styles, plus Swing Sunday at 5 p.m. and improvisational jazz on the bridge Sunday nights at 10 p.m. Listen for new releases, interviews with artists, and information on upcoming performances right here on WDIY.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY 88.1. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810, and you can talk live on air with us, or if you're not comfortable talking live on air, just call in and give your question to Greg or Kyle. Kyle's in training tonight. Kyle Siebert, my son. Yes, I'm throwing him under the bus there. In training for help with the call screening. So if you have questions, again, 610-758-8810, and you can talk live on air or just give your question to them. They'll write it down and bring it in to me. So the article Ping Pong Planning, let me quickly, if I can, this isn't really a quick subject, but it's such a complicated subject and possibly not applicable to most of us that I will try to encapsulate what I want to convey here regarding the federal estate tax and why it's important to know what might apply to you. The federal estate tax exemption, meaning do we have to pay a federal estate tax, would apply to people who have estates or assets they control over $11.7 million. Many of you laugh, turn off the radio. No, no, don't, because you think this may not apply to you. Why should I bother listening to this? The exemption in 2021 is 11.7. You heard me say at the top of the show that there is a tax provision called the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act that is set to sunset in 2025, which means the old federal estate tax exemption is going to revert. And back then, the federal estate exemption was $5 million. Now, it is adjusted for inflation, so maybe by 2026, I'm going to make this up, maybe the exemption is $6 million. And you might think, well, I don't have $6 million either. Well, this is in 2026. Think about how old you are. Think about assets doubling. What else do we have happening in this country? We have, you know, aging population, people inheriting. You may inherit assets from a parent, grandparents, aunts, or uncles. And in 30 years, maybe you will have really a huge nest egg. We don't know what the federal estate exemption is going to be in 30 years. But here's what the IRS is telling us, is that if we have a spouse who passes away, we can file a federal estate tax return for them, even if they're not required to file because their assets aren't that high. Let's pretend their assets are only $3 million. We can file a federal estate tax return to say we want to use their unused federal exemption. I want to pass it on to my spouse. So husband dies, has a $3 million estate. Everything's going to the wife. Well, the federal rules, basically, this is general educational material tonight. The rules say $3 million going to my spouse, that automatically qualifies for a deduction. It's called the marital deduction. Every $3 million going to my spouse, automatic deduction. But that means I still have that $11.7 million that I didn't use. So if I have died, my executor or my personal representative can file a federal estate tax return to say, hey, that $11.7 that I would have been entitled to, but I didn't need because I didn't have that much assets, I want to pass that to my wife. I want to pass that to my surviving spouse. So then when surviving spouse lives another 30 years and wins the lottery, She not only has her federal exemption, she also has the unused exemption that the predeceased spouse had. That's $11.7 million plus whatever the current exemption would be at that time. So if in 2026 the exemption reverts back to $6 million and this woman's money grew to, you know, $12 million, she gets her husband's $11.7 plus her own. It's called portability. And this is an election one can make when a spouse passes away. They can elect portability of their unused exemption. And you might say, well, that's a little silly. My assets will never grow to that. A few things are happening, and it could be, you know, a perfect storm. One, we have, you might have life insurance that a decedent owns on their life. That adds to the estate. If the decedent owned it, they controlled it, it's included in their estate. Real estate is included. Real estate can appreciate without your even realizing it, and all of a sudden you have to include your real estate in the estate, and that could bump it up. We have required minimum distributions that are getting accelerated. I'm going to talk about that in a minute, which could mean that we have, you know, assets that have grown quite a bit in our own estates. So you want to think about whether it makes sense to elect this portability, particularly if you might have a current estate of, you know, $3 million, $4 million, and you think you might live another, you know, 20 years. Imagine your money could double in, you know, 7 years, making, what is the rule? Rule is 72. I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, but if you're making 8% a year, it might be like 7, 8, 9 years, something like that, your money could double. So the election is for portability. I don't want people to forget about that. So it is a federal election. If normally the federal estate tax return is due in 9 months, if you were not otherwise required to file the return, they actually give you 2 years. You just have to make a note on the tax return that you're filing under, you know, a particular revenue procedure, which is 2017-34, and under, let's see, portability election under 2010 C5A. You have to put that at the top of the tax returns, and you can do it at least 2 years. And that's if you're not required to file a federal estate tax return. They give you 2 years to do it, and it's a very simplified return. I've done this for several clients because we don't know where their estate is going to go. And if I'm the accountant and my surviving client wins the lottery, I would be in a sad state if we didn't use the predeceased spouse's unused federal exemption amount. All right. A little bit complicated. Sorry to have to talk about it, but it's all about awareness, and people don't always know what questions to ask. So if you have a spouse who passes away, you think you might have some estate exposure on the second to die, it might be worth exploring with your attorney and or accountant. Now, having talked about portability, another concept that was, you know, really put through the ringer was required minimum distributions. Lots of changes with required minimum distributions. And I'm telling you, people can't keep up with these changes. Just had a call with a client today, said, you know, the required minimum distributions at age 70 and a half. I said, well, no, it's actually changed. Changed to 72. Because these rules are changing so fast, you got to keep up. So when we talk about ping pong planning, are we planning for the sunset of tax, you know, tax law? Are we planning for current tax legislation? Are we planning for proposed tax legislation? That's in the estate world. It also happens in the required minimum distribution world, because they're even talking about maybe changing the age from 72 to, you know, phasing it up to a higher age. We're going to talk about required minimum distributions when we come back from this next break. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You are listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY 88.1. If you have questions, you can talk live on air with me, or if you're not comfortable talking live on air, you can give your question to Greg or Kyle, and they can write it down and bring it into the studio. The phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. Real quick, one other thing I had mentioned in that article as well was generational planning. When we're talking about figuring out if someone might be subject to federal estate taxes or taking advantage of the unused credit, we also have to factor in that we may inherit from, as I mentioned, kind of alluded to earlier, from, you know, other people, parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, whatever it might be. And it could be in that inheriting that you may also end up having some federal estate tax exposure that you might not have realized or thought about. I have clients who don't want their children to know how much money they have. Grandparents who don't want their children or grandchildren to know how much money they have. I've seen inheritances of $15 million and $20 million, and people didn't know. So you might think about if you have a loved one, a spouse, or if your parents are married and one of your parents passes away, you might want to mention, is this something we have to think about or consider. All right, so when we talk about required minimum distributions, as I mentioned, typically what we're thinking of is IRA owners. You own this account. It could be a Roth IRA. It could be an individual, you know, retirement account. If you're the owner of the IRA or the Roth IRA, we have different rules. If you're the owner of the IRA, and since the Secure Act of December 2019, where they changed the required minimum distribution age to 72, that is the age now, 72. And that is on your individual IRA. It could be a contributory IRA. It could be a rollover IRA. The age is 72. You have to take a required minimum distribution out. You have to go to a table to see how much money you have to take out. It's based on a life expectancy that the IRS, generates. And typically it's the December 31st value of the prior year divided by this factor from the table. Easy enough. Age 72, you have to take out the required minimum distribution. The IRS lets us have until April 1st of the following year to take it out, but then you'd have to do two in 1 year. Sometimes that makes sense, sometimes it doesn't. So age 72 is the new required minimum distribution for owners. If you have a Roth IRA and you're the owner of the Roth IRA, there is no required minimum distribution from a Roth IRA. You could let that run as long as you want. We quite often use this as an estate planning tool. Think about that. I mentioned earlier about the estate, the federal estate tax exclusion. Someone might be holding a really big Roth IRA for you. So you want to make sure you yourself kind of have an inventory of all your assets. And if you think you're bumping up against some big numbers, you might want to clue your family member in. Quite often I'll see where someone will do their estate planning, have their estate tax documents their estate documents prepared, and then won't want to tell the kids. And then if you pass away, they're kind of left in the dark. If you trust them enough to be the administrator of your estate, the executor of your estate, the trustee of your trust, then you might want to bring them into the fold a little bit and kind of inform them. So the Roths have no required minimum distribution for the owner. IRAs do. I mentioned a life expectancy tables. That's pretty general. There is a little asterisk here. If your spouse is more than 10 years younger than you, you have a different life expectancy table. And that's because they want that money to last a little bit longer for that younger spouse. So you actually have a smaller required minimum distribution because you have a larger factor. So you need to be aware of that and pay attention to that. If you have a spouse who's more than 10 years younger, you have a different required minimum distribution table to refer to. Now, I've mentioned owners. Let me go back for a second, too. If you already were age 70 and a half in 2019, then you have to follow the age 70 and a half rules and those life expectancy tables. So you already kind of were in. But going forward, age 72, I have seen some, you know, talk about maybe raising that age over time for the required minimum distributions. Another thing that had changed before I continue talking about required minimum distributions in the SECURE Act was that if you continue to work past age 70 and a half, you can still contribute to an IRA account, whereas before you couldn't. Once you reached age 70 and a half, you couldn't contribute to an IRA. If you were still working and you had a 401k at work, you could continue to contribute to a 401k, but you couldn't contribute to an IRA. So they changed that if you continue to work, then you could make a contribution to an IRA or a contribution to a Roth IRA. Back to the ping pong planning. So now if you are working, you might have to think about, would you benefit more from the tax deduction by making a contribution to the IRA, lowering your income? Or would it be better for you to do a Roth and build up a tax-free investment vehicle for yourself, your spouse, or your heirs? So required minimum distributions had some changes, and also the ability to contribute to an IRA had some changes. Where the big changes really came with the required minimum distributions under the SECURE Act was for beneficiaries. Boy, oh boy, ping pong planning. I'm telling you, I've done planning for stretching these IRAs out as long as we can. The term we used to use, or in the industry used, was a stretch IRA. People used to come to me and say, could you please open a stretch IRA for me? Well, it's not actually something you open. It's not actually called that. It's just kind of a nickname for it. For the ability to be able to stretch the required minimum distributions out of an IRA over a longer period of time by making a younger beneficiary the beneficiary of your IRA. So if I passed away and named my spouse my beneficiary, they could make it their own, and then they could just take it out over their life expectancy. That's fine. If I didn't have a spouse, if I named my child, then my child would have a required minimum distribution to take it out over their lifetime. And my spouse's lifetime might be, you know, 40 years. My child's life expectancy might be 60 or 70 years. I could really stretch that out. And my grandchild's life expectancy could be 100 years. So this could be really some awesome planning to stretch this out as long as we could. We could stretch it out for quite a while. Well, the SECURE Act put the kibosh on that, because now they've changed the rules on required minimum distributions for non-spousal beneficiaries. Non-spouse beneficiaries have different rules. So we're going to touch on those when we come back from this next break. If you have questions, I'd love to hear from you. And you can talk live on air, or if you're not comfortable talking live on air, just give your question to Greg or Kyle, whoever are answering the phone over there. The phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Good evening, WDIY Lehigh Valley Public Radio. I'm James Johnson. It's 6:30, we have 75 degrees, and there's expected thunderstorms in the vicinity here in the Lehigh Valley. Lehigh Valley weather. Tonight, heavy rain expected with severe thunderstorms and a low of 68. Thursday, a slight chance of thunderstorms, mostly sunny, high 83. Thursday night, partly cloudy, low 57. WDIY, your award-winning Lehigh Valley public radio station for over 25 years. Many choices, real voices. And speaking of real voices, Lori Siebert with your financial choices.
Thank you, James. Welcome back to the show, folks. If you have questions, phone number is 610-758-8810. We're talking about ping pong planning, but if you have a question off topic, that is fine as well. And I do want to mention next week, I am going to have the topic, we're calling it This and That, and it's going to be various financial planning questions from our listeners. So if you have a question that pops up tonight, you can always send those questions through the website as well at yourfinancialchoices.com. And I appreciate Carolyn and Amy for sending in some of those questions, which prompted the topic for next week. So I appreciate that. Going back to the ping pong planning, it's hard to keep up with all the different legislation that we've been faced with recently and all of the stimulus packages that have gone through, which really impacted the stimulus payments and planning for the stimulus payments and counting on the stimulus payments and making sure that you got the stimulus payment that you didn't get, all kinds of things. Crazy 20 tax season, and we're going to have a little bit more of that in 2021 as well. But keep in mind that prior to even the stimulus and the pandemic, we had the Secure Act of 2019, which changed a number of ways to save for retirement, but also how your retirement gets calculated and reported when you become a required minimum distribution age, which, as I mentioned, has been updated to age 72. But more importantly, the bigger impact in my ping pong planning story was the change for non-spouse beneficiaries. The required minimum distribution for non-spouse beneficiaries was accelerated to 10 years. 10 years, folks. So when we talk about spreading out the required minimum distributions across maybe generations for tax reporting purposes and estate tax planning and income tax planning, that's kind of out the window. It has to be within 10 years. Roth IRAs, which grow income tax-free for as long as you have them, in the account. While the old rule said required minimum distributions for non-spouse beneficiaries, you also have to look to a table. It's called the single life table. That applied if you were a non-spouse beneficiary of a Roth. So if you were, I'm going to pretend, 1 year old, you inherited a Roth IRA, let's pretend the life expectancy was 100. You would have 100 years to take out the Roth. Well, now it's 10. 10 years for non-spouse beneficiaries. There's some little exceptions to that distribution schedule, depending on if you're a minor or, you know, some other provisions. I'm not going to go into those tonight. It's too much, too detailed. But know that there could be very different planning under this new tax legislation, that it's 10 years, because many people will go in and do their estate plan documents and never look at them again. Many people go set up their beneficiary designations and never look at them again. You need to review your estate plan documents, as I mentioned earlier, about the federal estate tax exemption, portability, the rules have changed. You might not need those credit shelter trust and marital trust that we used to use prior to this portability election. That could gum up, you know, estate administration for a surviving spouse. Go look at those documents. You could, benefit maybe from the portability. The caution there is you have to make sure you do the portability and make the portability election. Same thing applies with the beneficiary designations. if you thought you were being smart and naming a grandchild or a child or someone else in lieu of maybe your spouse, you might want to review that again, because maybe it makes sense just to make a surviving spouse the beneficiary, because they can make it their own and continue to kind of stretch it out longer than maybe that 10 years. So in general terms, a non-spouse beneficiary has to make a distribution within 10 years. There was just recently some confusion coming out from the IRS saying you had to do it 1/10 a year. They need to clarify that. I don't think they've done that yet. It is any form within 10 years, meaning you can do it all in the first year, the 10th year, 1/10, you know, hopscotch it, whatever it might be, as long as you have it out within 10 years. Same thing for the Roth IRA. So this is really a no-brainer as far as I'm concerned on the Roth IRA. Unless someone needs cash or cash flow or income tax planning, generally you would want to let that Roth, you know, sit and grow tax-free for 10 years. But this, again, comes back to the ping-pong planning, because if someone inherits maybe an IRA and a Roth IRA and I'm a non-spouse beneficiary and I have to take it out within 10 years, if I maybe need cash flow, I might have a big expenditure, you really want to visit where does it make more sense to take this money out. Is it going to be a little bit out of the regular IRA, which is going to be income taxable, a little bit out of the Roth IRA, all out of the Roth, all out of the IRA because of the tax situation? So we're going to have more planning that we're going to have to do to accommodate these tax legislation changes for required minimum distributions. So I hope that kind of just puts it all on high alert for everybody. Bottom line, federal estate, you know, planning strategies that work anytime, even with all these changes, reviewing your estate documents, understanding what assets you have, reviewing with your attorney all of your documents, you know, power of attorney, because power of attorney gives permission to disclaim assets, meaning saying I don't want them. That's a post-mortem tax planning strategy. Your power of attorney will say how much your agent can gift or not gift. That's a big estate planning strategy. So you want to review your documents. You also want to review your beneficiary designations as far as this new changes in the required minimum distributions for non-spouse beneficiaries. All right. So a couple other things I wanted to talk about, which I think could impact some planning this year, is when we talk about the stimulus payments, there may be people who have not completed their 2020 tax return. For those folks, if you haven't finished your 2020 tax returns and you might have qualified for stimulus payments, or perhaps did not qualify for the stimulus payments based on your 2018 or 2019 tax return, you can still file your 2020 return and get those as a recovery rebate credit if you are entitled to those stimulus payments based on your 2020 income. That was for the first stimulus and the second stimulus. I had people asking me to please file for the third stimulus, or they'd get their tax return and they'd say, where's my third stimulus payment? We weren't getting that on the 2020 tax return. That's based on 2021. The IRS issued the third stimulus payment based on your 2019 tax return and or your, let me see, the 2020 return, but only after you filed it. So the third stimulus is really going to be based on 2021 income. If they gave you a stimulus payment based on 2020 and then you find out in 2021 your income was too high to qualify for it, you're not going to have to pay that back, just like the ones we've already received. So stimulus payments, third stimulus payments still may be available. You still might be getting them. The IRS was processing those as they processed the 2020 tax returns if you didn't otherwise qualify for it before and now qualified for it based on 2020. They are continuing to process those. They also, I think I just saw this pop up, I lose track of time, that they are also processing right now the refunds to people who filed their tax returns and reported all of their unemployment compensation as taxable, even though maybe they were under the threshold, which qualified for the exclusion of $10,200. A few people, you know, filed those returns before they changed that law, and they are processing those refunds now. If you had direct deposit, I imagine they would probably put it right into your bank account. A lot of people don't even watch their bank activity these days. If you have online banking or you don't balance your checkbook, you might not even realize that you're getting a refund from the Treasury for the tax that would have applied to that exclusion amount that you reported as taxable. That's $10,200 of unemployment income that would have been excluded based on your income and filing status. So stimulus payments, unemployment, lots of tax planning around those stimulus payments, and there still was that third one. Another big change under the American Rescue Plan comes under the child tax credits. So I'm going to read this a little bit. We're not getting calls. I need a break. If someone wants to call and ask a question, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. I love questions. The child tax credit, the American Rescue Plan's expansion of the child tax credit, this is from the IRS's website, will substantially reduce child poverty by supplementing the earnings of families receiving the tax credit. Specifically, the child tax credit has been revised in the following way. The amount has been increased. The American Rescue Plan increased the amount of the child tax credit from $2,000 to $3,600. That's a huge change for children under age 6, and $3,000 for other children under age 18. The credit scope has been expanded, children 17 years old and younger, as opposed to 16 years old and younger, will now be covered by the child tax credit. The credit amounts will be made through advance payments during 2021. Now, this is different. We never had that before where they would give us advance payments. You'd get the, normally the child tax credit is on your tax return. There's income limitations for that. There's a phase out. The increased amounts are reduced for incomes over $150,000 for married filing joint and qualifying widows or widowers, $112,500 for head of household, and $75,000 for all other taxpayers. So if you're over those amounts, there's a phase out and then completely phased out. But under those amounts, you're going to qualify for these higher tax credits. So here again, we're talking about ping pong planning. We're talking about much bigger numbers on these child tax credits. Well, what kind of planning can we do to maybe secure some of these benefits? Well, one thing, if you have a number of children and they're increasing the child tax credit, which is going to save you some income taxes, and maybe your cash flow is just fine as it's been, well, you might be able to put a little bit more into your retirement account. If you have a retirement account through work, you maybe could contribute more money, lower your income, maybe below these thresholds to fully qualify for the credit. If you don't have an employer plan at work, you might be able to do a deductible IRA. So that's the planning that all of a sudden we might need to revisit what we're doing. These are things that are happening mid-year that in the past, quite often tax legislation would be proposed and acted and start as of January 1. But it just seems like more and more these things are done or being done on the fly, and then it changes the planning that you might have, you know, set out to have. So the child tax credit, these are big increases, $2,000 to $3,600 for children under 6, $3,000 for children under age 18, and again, the age is older, it's children 17 years old and younger as opposed to 16 years old and younger. So more parents will get this. It's the advanced credits that are different. So I'll talk about that in a minute. It's 50% of the advanced credits. I wonder if people realize they're getting these. Are they seeing it directly deposited? Let's see if we can talk about that. Folks, if you have questions, we still have 15 minutes left. The phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Psst! Did you know that your phone is a radio? You can tune in to WDIY anywhere on the go with WDIY's new phone app. Download for free from the Apple or Google store, and your phone will become your trusted radio. The easy-to-use app lets you listen to WDIY on your phone live and access your favorite music shows on demand. Download and share the WDIY app with your friends and family and introduce them to many choices, real voices.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY. We are talking about ping pong planning. And, you know, maybe a little bit of comprehensive, no, what do I want to say? Complicated concepts tonight. I think it's very important to be aware, though, of some of these things and how they might apply to you. If it at least just raises your awareness that you can ask your planner or your accountant or your attorney about some of these items, then I hope that we've served a purpose. These child tax credits are going to be really nice for a lot of families who are struggling. They've increased the credit amount and the age of the people that, you know, that it qualifies for. They are going to start these advance payments. I see now that it's July 1st to December 31st, so people would not have received them yet. Individuals eligible for a 2021 child tax credit will receive advance payments of the individual's credit, which the IRS and the Bureau of the Fiscal Service will make through periodic payments from July 1 to December 31st. This change will allow struggling families to receive financial assistance now rather than waiting until the 2022 tax filing season to receive the child tax credit benefit. Now, I'm going to tell you folks, if you are someone who's going to get these advance payments, you better keep track of them, because I'm sure that when you go to file your tax return, your accountant or the IRS or the software is going to ask you, how much of the credits did you receive as advance payments? Because if you didn't get it, you'll probably have the chance to get it when you file your 2021 tax return. If you already got it, you're not going to be able to double dip, and it could really hang up your return if you say you didn't get it when in fact you did. So keep track of any of the advance payments that you get. They also mention on the IRS website that the credit, the child tax credit, is now fully refundable. Low-income households will be entitled to receive the full credit benefit as significantly expanded and increased by the American Rescue Plan. It's also now extended to Puerto Rico and U.S. territories. To facilitate the disbursement of child tax credit advance payments during 2021, the American Rescue Plan requires the IRS to establish an online portal for taxpayers to update relevant data for mid-year payment adjustments. So, for example, the birth of a child during 2021. In addition to this online tool, the Treasury Department and the IRS will carry out a sweeping public awareness campaign parallel to its economic income payment campaign to reach all Americans who may be eligible for this assistance. So what I'm wondering here is if you have to do it through the portal for the advance payments. I did read something that it said you don't have to take it. Let me see if I can find more information here. Advance payments of the 2021 child tax credit will be made regularly, as I mentioned, from July through December to eligible taxpayers who have a main home in the U.S. for more than half the year. And it'll be up to 50% of the child tax credit. And they will be estimated from information included in eligible taxpayers' 2020 returns. If you've not had your 2020 return processed yet, then they will use the 2019 return. So they do urge people to make sure their 2020 returns were filed. If Eligible taxpayers do not need to take any action now other than to file their 2020 tax return if they have not done so. And if you don't want it, you will have an opportunity to decline it. Taxpayers will also have the opportunity to update information about changes in their income, filing status, or the number of qualifying children. So more details and steps on that will be announced soon. So as I find out any more information on that, I'll certainly update our listeners, because that is, you know, a really big credit. So if you are on the cusp of qualifying for some of these, when we talk about ping pong planning, if you're on the cusp of qualifying for some of these benefits, whether it's the third stimulus payment, as I mentioned earlier, or these child tax credits, you can do things like adjusting maybe 401k contributions or making a deduction to an IRA. If you are someone who has a health savings account with a high deductible health plan, you could maybe contribute more to the high deductible plan. That's a wonderful idea, because that way you keep that money for future medical expenses. You get the deduction from federal, state, local, Medicare, Social Security. If you do it through your employer, you save money that way. You save taxes that way. You lower your income, which could qualify you maybe for some of these credits, again, if you are on the cusp of them. There was also some changes to dependent care. And again, from the IRS, this is the first of two tax tips, providing an overview of how the American Rescue Plan may affect some individuals' 2021 taxes. The new law increases the amount of the credit and the percentage of employment-related expenses for qualifying care considered in calculating the credit. For 2021, eligible taxpayers can claim qualifying employment-related expenses up to $8,000 for one qualifying child or individual, up from $3,000 in prior years. It was $3,000 for years and years and years. Anyone who has a child in daycare understands the true cost of daycare, and it's very, very expensive. And they were giving these dependent care credits based on like $3,000 up to $6,000 for two or more children. And that was, you know, again, dependent care cost can be very, very high. So $8,000 for one qualifying individual, up from $3,000. We have Carol from Nazareth on the phone. Hi, Carol. Can you hear me? Oh, Carol's not on the line. I'm sorry. It was off air. Let me see what I can do here. Carol from Nazareth. Discrepancies between what she received and what the IRS said they received. Why or what should I do? And Carol, I'm assuming then that this is discrepancies in the stimulus payment that you might have received. One of the things that I found, Carol, is that when the IRS was issuing, and I'm assuming it's about the stimulus payments, the IRS would issue the stimulus payments one of three ways. They were doing it either a check, a direct deposit, or a debit card. And what was happening is some people might not have received the debit card, or they got it and they threw it away because they thought it was junk mail. Some people moved. My own daughter moved, never got the stimulus check because the IRS doesn't forward IRS checks. They don't get forwarded. They moved. They never got their stimulus check. We filed the tax return. We said they didn't get the stimulus. We filed for the recovery rebate credit on the tax return, and their tax return still has not been processed. What I am thinking is the IRS is probably trying to reconcile whether or not they got those stimulus payments. So that could be one reason. The stimulus payments might not coincide. You might not have used the right amount if that is your story. Let's pretend it's not related to stimulus payments at all. And the IRS said, you wrote discrepancies between what you received and what the IRS said they received. If you filed your tax return reporting certain information, whether it's income and or tax payments, the IRS has like matching programs. So if your employer files a W-2, they tell the IRS how much they reported on the W-2. You take your tax return, you report how much you received on your W-2. Same thing happens with interest, dividends, Social Security, retirement accounts, 1099-Rs. This was another area where we saw there could be discrepancies. In 2020, folks were allowed to skip their required minimum distribution or pay it back. And some people paid it all back. Some people paid only the net amount that they got, you know, after taxes. So you had to tell the IRS, hey, IRS, they reported $10,000 of an IRA distribution on this 1099-R, but I paid that $10,000 back. You have to tell the IRS in your tax filing that, yes, here's $10,000 gross amount, zero taxable because I did a $10,000 rollover back to my IRA. So when you have discrepancies, when I have people who tell me they got a notice from the IRS, I tell them, don't panic. Don't panic or worry until I tell you to panic or worry, because we have to really break it down. The IRS is just typically saying, hey, here are the numbers you gave us. Here are the numbers we have. Let's talk about it. How do we reconcile this? So you would double check the numbers and then reply back in a letter and say, hey, IRS, or the notice has a box that say, you can say, I don't agree with the changes. You just have to tell them how you don't agree and reply back to the notice and the address on the notice and give them any of the backup or information that you have. I had someone in 2018, the 2018 tax returns were such a mess because they changed the line items and everything, and they combined the pension and the IRA distributions. They were a big mess. So I had a client who did qualified charitable distributions out of her IRA. And, you know, we took those off as taxable. They're not taxable because she made them directly to a charity. Well, the IRS, you know, couldn't follow this. We had reported it that way, put that it was a QCD, and they kept trying to include that as taxable income. What we did is we had the custodian provide the backup and proof of all of the charitable contributions she made out of the IRA and sent it to the IRS and said, you know, we disagree with your changes. These are not taxable. And, you know, we expect that that's going to go through with no problem. So, Carol, I hope that helped. If not, you can, you know, send a follow-up question through yourfinancialchoices.com and I can, you know, refer to it next week as well. But I so appreciate you calling so that we could test out our call screener this evening, my son Kyle. So thank you. I appreciate the call. And folks, we do have a couple minutes left. So let me kind of sum things up. When we're talking about ping pong planning, we've always had planning that needs to be done. There has always been financial planning that needs to be done. There's always estate planning that needs to be done. That is not new. What is new is how fast it's coming at us. Just like when you play ping pong. I love ping pong. I love hitting them out of the park and slamming them, and I love it. But you got to be ready for it. And with a little bit of education and understanding, you may not be able to do it yourself, but you at least have enough information, hopefully, to ask the kinds of questions that will lead to good planning for yourself. Whether it involves updating your estate planning documents, so your wills, your power of attorney, maybe you have a trust, get those updated if necessary. Some of these older documents are really out of date because of the legislation. Poor attorneys, man, they really got to work it because they have to write flexible enough documents to accommodate all of the tax legislations that comes at them. And they can't always remember to reach out to you. You can't rely on, well, my attorney didn't call me. It's your responsibility to check in with the attorney and make sure your documents are up to date. Required minimum distributions, understand the rules that are going to apply to you. And for child dependent care credits and child tax credits. Make sure that you're doing everything that you can for planning for yourself and your family to make sure that you're getting all the benefits that you need that will help you in supporting your family moving forward and supporting your own financial future and financial planning and goals. So thank you very much. I want to thank Greg for being here and helping. I want to thank Kyle for being here. James Johnson, thanks for filling in there. And listeners, especially Carol, thanks for calling in. I really appreciate it. Next week, remember, we are going to do this and that, various financial planning questions from our listeners. You can send those through the website, yourfinancialchoices.com. And coming up next, we have Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices and have a great week.